Kinta Zion, Sif Ches. Shmona Shrotzim Hamura Matara, Hatzadon Chayev. So the eight Shrotzim, which the Torah delineates in Hilchos Tuma and Tahara. So first of all, they have a din of Seda, which means they're considered a Mila Nitzit. And their connection is because all of these things have Oros, and apparently people would use their Oros. So the definition: the Gemara goes to the fact that they are considered the items which have an aura to them. So sodan chayiv v'chevel behen. Now we're going to move from sod into chayvel. We're going to go back and forth in sod and chayvel a little bit through the next few sifim. So we're moving from sod to chayvel. So the malach of chayvel is because of the tilas hashama. And the tilas hashama is because there's been dam which has been taken out. It's considered also a form of dam hua nefesh. Taking out dam is like taking out part of the neshama. However, bleeding, which the body will absorb back in the blood, that's not considered until it's nefesh. So, in an animal which doesn't have an or, the only way you can define chayvul is if the blood actually came out. Because the blood didn't come out, we have to assume that maybe the blood's going to go back in. But an animal which has an or, it's possible that you're going to have a mitzvah that it bled internally in such a way that the body will not absorb the blood back. But it didn't come out because the skin wasn't perforated. And therefore there's internal bleeding, which is considered hilz nefesh, even though no blood came out. So the Shmona Shrotzim, because they have an or, v'chevel behen, al pi shelo yotze mehen dam, al nitzra tachas or, if the blood is pooling under the skin, so you see it indicated by what we would call the black and blue mark, right? So if the blood is pooling under the skin, so then we assume that the blood, it's bled in such a way that it's not going to be absorbed back in a way that's useful to the body. Eventually the body will absorb back all the different components and break them down and whatever, reuse them, but the blood is not going to be functioning as blood anymore. So there was the tilas hashama even though no blood came out. So chay. Shar shrotzim, however, other shrotzim which do not have an or, eno chayiv v'chevel behen ela im ken yotze mehem dam, their chayiv is only chayiv if the dam came out. Because if dam didn't come out, we have to assume it wasn't because the or was blocking it. So why didn't dam come out? We have to assume that it didn't bleed in such a way that it was significant enough that it can't reabsorb it and use it. Not sodan. So what about the shar shrotz in regards to the melacha of tzad? The tzarachayiv shel tzarach istam patar b'lasu. So if the person, whereas by the Shmona Shrotzim we assume that they're done with tzarach because they have an or, over here we have to have a specific intent, so otherwise we assume that it's only mirabbanan. Well, the Rambam, chayiv. According to the Rambam, holos melacha shel tzichul guf is chayiv. These cases would be chayiv. Okay.
So the Rambam disagrees with the whole thing of Shabbat and Nitzat.
No, the Rambam does not disagree with the Shabbat and Nitzat. So there is, but the issue over here is besides Shabbat and Nitzat, it wasn't the Tzarek Kufa or not. That's, in other words, even if it's Shabbat and Nitzat, we're saying if it's Tam, so he's Potter because it's in a Tzarek Kufa. So that doesn't exist according to the Rambam. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkatan Chav Ches. Shana Shrotzim, Hine Mitchila Be'er Mechabredin Seda B'chai V'oif. So we already discussed earlier in the Simon about Chayus and Oifus. The Vesan Hamina, Mr. Mile, Nitzarim Nitzarim. Over there, usually when a person does Seda on a Chaya or an Oif, he's doing it because he has a need for that. And now we're moving on to these smaller creeping type of animals, creatures. The who yeshkilik depends. The boys and haminim sheishlem aris. So the ones which have or which the Torah gives that list in Parsha Shmini, the eight shrotzim, chelav ba'achbor, hatzav, v'gemer. Yesh Seda, there is a din of Seda, Mistama, Sodan, Gamke, and the Tsarazeb, because since they have Aris, probably that's why people are doing Seda on them. Imloshe Kabanasa, Hoysa Behet, Shlod the Tsarach, unless a person specifically had intent not to use the ore for no purpose, so then it's Potter, because it's Malacha, Meshum, the Havi Malacha, Shin, and Sikha, the Gufa, except not according to the Rambam. Abashar Shrotim, Ainlam, Aris, they don't have an or. Therefore, the assumption is that the tzeda was not litzarech. And then it's chayiv if it's a mina nitzer. So now it's a little bit strange. Like how do you parallel these things? You say, Manashach, if the normal usage is not the tzarech, so why is it called Minan Nitzin? So apparently that means that when people do Seda on them, usually they're doing Seda for tzarech, even though they don't normally do Seda. Right? Am I making sense? Okay, so it's, when the people do Seda, usually people will do Seda on these things because they have a need for them. The nature is they don't necessarily run around doing Seder on these things regularly because like they don't really have so much of a need for them. So now if somebody does that, we have to figure out why was he doing it? Was he doing it Litzarech or not? But it would be called Minan Nitzin when you do it. So it's possible to have that combination. Now we move from Seder into the Malach of Chayvol. So Tam Lachiyev Chavalahu Mibnei Tetzil Seshama Shemoy Samakim. So why is wounding the animal considered a malacha? What is the malacha involved? The malacha involved is there's a malacha of Shechita. One of the opposite malachas is Shechita. Shechita is taking out the life force of the animal. So when you remove the blood is a nefesh. There's a minimal life force which is being removed as well. It's called the tilas hashama in that spot. Kedamu a nefesh. Well, can I feel a yotza dam kolshu and it's a dam kolshu chayv? Therefore, even if a minimal amount of bleeding took place, that's enough that a person should be chayv. Okay. So now. So a chayvul b'hem, a person would wound these animals. Nakat chavala b'shrotzim sivkat namen mishum tibhu yeshrotzim she'en lehem or v'rechayv atsheyetzi adam. Kama shesayim amachaber. There's some which have a skin, and over there the only time chayvul is chayiv is if it actually bleeds and the blood comes out. But over here it says Lashon of Chavol, it wounded them. Avakolshkein sheyesh kiv chavola bebehem achayv oif shekulam yesh lem or bechayv afila benitzur. Even though the Shulchan Aruch, let me finish my thought. See, even though the Shulchan Aruch only introduces the malach of Chavola by shrotzim, it's not introducing it over here to exclude that it doesn't apply to animals or to oifus. It's discussing over here, because over here we have to differentiate between bleeding and just wounding where the blood is pooling under the skin. So by shrotzim we have to talk about that, but by behemoth and oifis, that's never, either way is going to be chayiv, whether the blood comes out or the blood pools under the skin and it makes a black and blue mark. So whether either one of those happens, by chayiv and oifis, the person would be chayiv. It's called nitzrur, the blood pooled under the skin. Whereas by shrotzim, we need to differentiate. That's why we waited to the shrotzim to discuss the vola and differentiate between the two. Now, when a person does chavola, it's malacha and a sikh lagufa, because the malacha is taking out the neshama, and I'm garnish from them. So what the person shouldn't be chayiv. So the Mishnah Berurah says, v'chol zemari b'shit tzarech l'dam ha-chavola, l'kalboi. Or the Eza Inyan. Okay, so now it has to be that I need the blood. The person would need, what's the person do with the blood? He's going to feed the blood to his caliph. The more he gives an example. So that would be an example why a person would need it for that purpose or some other purpose. They would use it to, as an ingredient in something. Or a labasha shenitzer by hadam laachil lekal by imdamoi. So it's going to be a case of makalkal. You're just damaging. And makalkal is potter by chavola as well. Okay. Now, or you're going to use this weak act of weakening it over here allows you to take the meat out, etc. Maybe that's going to be the case. No, it have to be first. It's going to be die afterwards. You can't take out the meat afterwards. It's every minute chai. But now, v'yeshu n'poiskim shesar b'nafichu chai b'nitzur adam. The case where the blood is nitzur, not the blood didn't come out, so you can't say you're using the dam because the dam didn't come out. So what is the tikkun over here that you're accomplishing by wounding it to the point that it bled internally, but no blood came out? Where's the tikkun? Sometimes it would be normal to hit the animal to weaken it. So even though you're doing an act of weakening, the weakening is considered for the human's purpose. It's something of benefit. He's able to now tame the animal more easily and capture the animal. A person attacked somebody, another person, and he wounded him because of the comma of anger. He did it in the person's Reuben attacked Shimon's animal for the purpose of getting out his anger. He's angry at him. And it bled, or the blood pooled and it made a wound. Rama holds that's also called tikkun because he let out his anger on something, and now his anger has been relieved. That's what the Rambam says. Kineno b'chal makalko v'tam neishem yashem is leitu b'dar b'zev yinoch yitzrei. And that's how he's going to get out of his revenge. So now he's calmed down. So for him, that's an accomplishment. V'hal v'chamoser shecheches b'dar b'zev reitzik m'sakan v'chayiv. Now, according to the Rambam, a person would rip a garment apart in anger, thereby letting out his anger and then calming down. The Rambam holds that's also considered a form of tikkun. Ravid disagrees that all these are cases of kilkul, because you have an anger problem that doesn't make it a tikkun. You're being makalkal the item. You're damaging the item. So vis-a-vis the item, it's definitely a damage. The Gemara actually says that the person who lets out his anger like this is doing a avodah zara. It's like a avodah zara. Your anger is so much controlling you that you're like worshipping this foreign god. You've lost control of yourself. It's like somebody takes over your body and you're letting him control you. That's like a avodah zara, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, so doing this is not really a good thing. And to the item you did it to, it's not a good thing either. So where's the tikkun? Right? So the Rambam says, you're right, you're going to burn a Gehenna, but the Maisa said, you did accomplish something right now, but his anger was relieved. So that's the Mechlokes in the Rambam and the Rai, but it got to be Hilchos Shabbos. Is that called a Tikkun or called a Kilkul? The simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it's the more actually suggests this case, the more says it can't be. The more says that can't be the case you're talking about, because the person does that is like he's doing a Vodazara. So, what's the Mora saying? Therefore, you shouldn't be doing it? Or the Mora saying that if you do it, it doesn't count? So that's the Machlokes in the Rambam and the Rai. Now, L'kuli Alma, the person should not be expressing his anger by hitting something or damaging something. That's like a Avodah Zara.
Is anger in any instance always a Avodah Zara?
Man.
Is anger in any instance of a zara? No.
So what defines...
But the idea of expressing anger to the point that you're damaging something is like a zara, the Gemara says.
So why do you connect this with Shabbos?
What?
Why is it connected with Shabbos?
Well, the Gemara assumes that the first step, the Gemara says, the Gemara talks about a case of Kareya. Right, so the Mor goes over to a beggar and rips the beggar out because of his anger. The Mor says, that's Makalko. Makalko is Pater and Shabbos. You're destroying a beggar. The Mor says, no, but you're accomplishing something positive. You're letting out your anger. The Mor says, yeah, but it's about a zar. Now, so what's the Mor's point of that statement? So Rabbi says, the Mor is saying that it's not called a kilkul, tikkun. It's not on the beggar and not on the person. Neither way, you're doing anything positive. So it's Pater on Shabbos. He goes to the Gehenna section for Avodah Zarah, not for Shabbos. Because Shabbos he didn't do.
So, what you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that it's all going to be quote unquote angry as long as you don't destroy anything in your anger. Once you destroy things,
I'm not getting involved. It's good to be okay to be angry, or not good to be angry. But I'm
just trying to see where is the borderline of anger that's not Avodah Zarah versus anger that is Avodah Zarah. You're saying it's when you destroy things.
The Gemara's example is when a person destroys something in anger. Right? Correct.
Does it have to be something of value or even a tiny little nothing?
Doesn't make a difference. Adam, what's your question?
Huh?
Where are we right now?
We're in Shin, Tessayin, Sivches. We're in Mishnah Berurah, Sivkotten, Lamed. Okay, so beginning on page Kuf Chav Ches, about 15 lines down. Now, the Kuliyama, whether you're according to the Rambam or according to the Raiva, the Rambam would hold the case would be Chayav on Shabbos. According to the Raiva, it would not be Chayav. Everybody agrees it's Osir. Isur Yesh Bezeh, the Chol Makalkul, the Chol Malacha Shabbos, Av Shabbaturim, and Chatos, become Makal Masurin. Doing a Malacha in a form, in a way which is a Kilko, which is going to be destructive as opposed to constructive, is not Mutter, it's just Pot, it's not Chayav, but it's not Mutter. Okay. So a person should be careful on Shabbos not to hit, besides the muksa issue, but a person should not be hitting any live thing in such a way which potentially can cause a wound. Because everybody would agree that it's definitely osir. And people are not careful with this. Also, a person has a boil on his body, he scratches it. It might come to the situation by scratching it that he's going to cause it to bleed. Even though the blood doesn't come out, it gets absorbed into the skin, but we just said that on a person who has skin, even if the blood doesn't come out, if it pools and becomes like a black and blue mark, it's also going to be chayiv or osir. Now, the mumak is dam lo adam l'rafua kashem asakana. We don't do what causes that blood letting nowadays, but when they did blood letting, they could do it in a case of sakana. They felt it would save a life, so that's permitted because you're saving a life. But if it's a situation where it's not sakana, so a person would do hakazas dam for the purpose of refuah. Or he would do it on a behema, which is, there's no heter of sakana on a behema. You can't save an animal's life on Shabbos. You can't be mechal Shabbos and save an animal's life. But the bloodletting is a positive thing. It helps the understanding was that taking out the blood was positive. It would help the take out the unhealthy blood, the bad blood, and the person would then survive or would get better. So chayv chuliyama the hubachal masak, and that's considered a form of tikkun. You are correcting the person, you're making it better. So even though he doesn't want to use the blood, but he civilly wants to take the blood out for the purpose of that's how it's going to help the person. So that the Mishnah Berurah says is considered a malacha hatzricha legufa. So an interesting modern version of this is would be taking blood out for the person has to get some type of lab tests on his blood. So he goes to the person in the hospital, and you want to draw some blood for the purpose of whatever test they have to test. So if it's chelash yesh b'sakana, so fine. Chelash yesh b'sakana, you can't do these blood tests on Shabbos because you're drawing the blood to use the blood. Right? You want to test the blood for this. That would be considered a tikkun, and a malacha tzich legufa. So I mean, it's the raisa to do. So it's only going to be mutter if there's sakana involved.
Does not say the animal on Shabbos includes a paradoma? It's not more than problem Shabbos. Do you say paradoma?
I'm sorry.
Not saving animal on Shabbos.
But include the paradoma.
Include
the
paradoma.
Yeah. Now, an interesting question which comes up like this is when they give a shot. So when they give a person a shot, so they give a shot, the shot can be done into the intramuscular, goes into the muscle. It could be also done intravenously. So when they do a shot intravenously, so they don't want any air bubble, because it's not healthy to put the air bubble back into the vein. So what they do is when they puncture and go into the vein, and then they pull back on the syringe to see that that's pulling out blood. So that blood's going to go back into the person. They're pulling out blood, meanwhile they're putting it back in. But meanwhile they're pulling out blood. So that's chawal. They're pulling out blood. Now, is that called you need the blood? So this is interesting, because I don't really need the blood to use it, but I need the blood to be clarify that I've gotten the right spot, and I'm therefore giving the shot correctly.
I would say that's very necessary, because considering if you put an air bubble in the vein, you could kill the person.
That's true. It's very necessary. That I'm not discussing. The question is, that called malacha tzricha legufa. Because I'm not really using the blood. If the malacha is taking out the blood, and we said the definition of tzricha legufa is using the blood, right, so I am using the blood in the sense that it clarifies for me whether I dealt this correctly or not. But I'm not really using the blood. So this is the machlokes of the modern poskim. Is this considered tzricha legufa or not?
I don't see how they consider that a machlokes. Like I said, if you do it wrong, you can kill the person. How could it not be considered, you know, using the blood?
Tzricha legufa.
There's no question that you're clear. We have to clarify the definition in halacha of tzricha legufa is how much am I using something is called using it in halacha. I don't need the blood. I really don't. The blood is irrelevant to me. It's a simen ba'alma. It's an indicator of a situation. I have no use for the blood per se. It's an indicator. So I need it as an indicator. But I'm not going to use the blood for other thing, anything other than it's indicated, and then put it back in. So is that called tzricha legufa? So Sir Shlomo Zalman was not sure, the Chaznish was not sure if this is called tzricha legufa or not. They put it as a suffix, whether it's called tzricha legufa or not. Obviously because of the in a situation where it would be life-threatening, it's always mutter.
But we seem to be expanding beyond just needing the blood. Like this is the sarambam that you're just venting your anger. So you don't need the blood. You need is to vent your anger.
No, but you do. Right, you do need the blood, because without it, you don't know where you are.
No, I'm talking about a different case.
So it's a fair question, and I don't really have a good answer, because it's something which I found confusing in the sugya over here.
So is chavala told of Nitzos Neshama, or is it Diav?
It's Pashat to told them. Right, so it's a Tolda.
So it could have sort of its own role. So that's the damage.
To some extent, yeah. I mean, Meshchita, you don't need the blood.
Well, it doesn't have to be Shchita. It could be Kankar Ovetet, also Chayav.
Right, right. Actually, there is a discussion about that, but okay. But,
what? Same,
but in Shchita itself, the malacha isn't taking out the blood.
Right, Shchita
is taking out the life right. of the animal through Shchita. Right. Okay, now the Rambam Shabbos says a fizer hutzar shashen who malacha the raisa the who bchalal koyvel the refuah. So we should argue that taking out the tooth is not a derabanan, because I mean the process of taking out a tooth is wounding, but it's the overall, even though you don't need to use the tooth, you're going to throw the tooth away. The overall tikkun which you're accomplishing in the body requires that you take out the tooth. That's called tzricha legufa. The same way you're saying taking out the bloodletting is called tzricha legufa. See, if you understand that, so according to that, it should be b'chal chayvul refuah. Chikas imagan avram, v'imagadim v'chayadim, v'ayim b'irlocha. But b'irlocha is going to raise the question. He doesn't understand why. The Maimonides says, where's the tzricha legufa with it? You don't need the blood, you don't need the tooth. So where's the tzricha legufa? Yes, it's a tikkun, it's not a kilkul. So I get that, but it's not malacha tzricha legufa. So if your name is the Rambam, you're Hilkayev, because it's a tikkun. If your discussion is tikkun versus kilkul, I get you. If the discussion is tzricha legufa versus not tzricha legufa, what's tzricha legufa over there? So that seems to be this discussion, how you define tzricha legufa, or how you define the definition of chavala. Maybe we'll look at that birloch a little bit. Okay. So the Mishabura. So the, in a case by the Shmonas Rotzim, even though it did not actually, the blood did not actually come out, it just pooled under the skin. Says Chai, Lamadav. The Nitzer Hanush Nesav and Nikbats of the Mokamechud, Shuenu Chazav and Nivlu Babasar. Once it gathers in one place, the blood doesn't go back into the body in a functional way. Eventually, it stays there for a period of time. Eventually, the body breaks it down into its components and discards part of it and reuses part of it, etc. But right now, the blood is no longer going to be functioning as blood for the body. So that amount of blood was the body has lost. That's by the Shmona Shrotzim. By other Shrotzim, over there is only chayiv if it actually bleeds. And a chayiv atam, the kaimalon chabura chazer is lishma chabura. Any chabura which the body will reabsorb the blood is not really a chabura for this purpose. Okay, shar shrotzim, shar and rach, mamish kebaser. They have very soft skin to the point that it's like meat, it's like the flesh. Bimhera nitzer by adam. It's normal for it, the blood to pool, but the blood will also unpool and go back into absorbed into the body. The only way it can be chayiv if the blood actually comes out, because that blood is lost. Their skin is much thicker. So over there, it only pool if it was a very significant wound, which will not be reabsorbed. Therefore, the concept of nitzur can be chayav because in that spot the blood, which is part of the chiyus of the animal, has been diminished. Now, what about the tzarech? What about seda? So we say the tzarech is chayav, or shalom the tzarech or stam is potter. Now, the Mishnah Berurah gives an example of shalom the tzarech. So the example which he gives is he's playing. Now the Chazanish says what he means like this: there's two ways to capture something to play with it. One is you want to capture to play with it. That's called tzarech l'gufo. I want to use the animal. I like playing with rats, you know, or well, rats might be shmonas rotzim. I like playing with whatever it is. I like playing with cockroaches, you know. So for me, I capture cockroaches to use them to play. That's tzarech l'gufo. I mean, I'm a little bit strange, but that's, you know, everybody's entitled to their mishagas, right? That's not what it means over the Chazi. He says it means over here, I enjoy the act of capturing, but I have no use for the animal afterwards. So I'm not capturing the animal to use the animal. I catch the fish, throw the fish back. So I didn't really catch.
It's the thrill of the capture.
It's the thrill of the
victory.
So, yeah. so that's considered malacha tenesich lugufa. I'm capturing it with the malacha of capturing is to get the item to use it, and I have no use for it. So that's only enesich lugufa. Potter mishum davim malacha enesich lugufa. That's a called malacha enesich lugufa. Fine. I can tell you an interesting flip side of this. There's a machlokes of the poskim on cholamoid. Cholamoid, there's an issue of the lama tes malach the plan cholamoid. It's just like an yomtiv. You're allowed to do the malachas of echol nefesh for food purposes or for a valid yomtiv need. So on cholamoid also, it's only mutter. So the question is, I want to go apple picking on cholamoid. Very common cholamoid activity. Sukkot time, the apples are ripe, take the kids out, apple picking. So go apple picking to use the apples, no problem. So I can make apple pie, I can make baked apples, I can make applesauce, I can eat fresh apples, I can do whatever I want, right? So the kids come home, like 10 kids, they come home with like 5 bushels of apples. And I'm not making enough, right? Well, the answer is, the activity itself is enjoyable. So that's the tzarech. So, besides Rav Moshe, every Riyash and Rosh Hashanah both hold that's also. That's not a valid tzarech. That's, you see, that the definition of using something is to use it once you get it. Just enjoying the activity, but then having no use for the item, is not called a valid tzarech for Yom Tov purposes. Rav Moshe held not like that. Rav Moshe held to be mutter. So, according to Rav Moshe, I could go fishing on Kol HaMoed and throw the fish back. According to Rosh Hashanah, I can't. Because from a Kohen Marisha, the activity of fishing, that's my activity, that's my need. Right? My need is to have some use for it. But
so is it the same question if I want to drive to an amusement park? Is that also travel yashiv? Because it's not tzarach hamoed to enjoy myself.
No, there is a tzarach hamoed to enjoy yourself.
So if I happen to enjoy myself by picking apples,
so
is that person riding
so it's
apples?
A good question, and how you draw the line, I have never figured out. The analogy to Rabbi Yashiv's question would be: I enjoy driving. Am I allowed to drive? You're allowed to drive on Chol HaMoed. I'm doing malach of driving. I'm driving not to get to a place. The tzarech of driving is to get to a place. The tzarech of getting an apple is to use the apple.
Okay.
I just enjoy driving. I'm 18 years old. I just got my license, and I just love driving. So Rabbi Yashiv said, "You can't drive on Chol HaMoed because." But the driving to get to a place, he holds is a valid. He's not against entertainment.
Right.
He's against. I mean, we look at each thing. What the normal usage is? That's how you define tzarech.
Right.
Okay, atzad dogim in a nor. So a person takes a fish out of the river, filling the son of Jacob, sefer shalmayim shalyamus. So there's no, he's not killing it, because he puts it right away into this big container of water. It's not going to die. So he didn't do malacha of killing it, because taking it out of the water is considered killing it. He didn't do that, but he did say to him, if he didn't put it into the water, he left it out. It's called he killed it, even though he didn't actually kill it. So that the kiddush over here is that taking the fish out of the water is called killing it. Now, we don't need that it actually died. If he left it to the point that it dried out, kirechu selabena snapirov, v'dayanu mafarches, v'chzir sechamayim, kaiv gam kemishul matil sasham. The Gemara says, if around where the gills are, it dries out to the size of a sela, the size of a coin, the fish will not be able to revive itself by going back into the water. So that's called killing it, even though you put it back into the water, it's too late. The Shuvan Yachol Lichias, the Rina B'Gemara, the Lav Dafka Yavish Mamish, and it doesn't have to be dry Mamish. Ela Kishazov Rear Misham Nimshach Etz Misham Kishaminicholov. Even if it's not actually dry, if it starts to let out a liquid over there, and when you put your finger there, it sort of becomes sticky. That's already considered that it's dried out. You can't ask a goy to take it out of the water, because that's called a malacha of killing it, and you can't tell a goy to do malacha. Your goal is to take it out over there, because this fish looks like it's about to die, and when the fish dies, it's going to make it makes all the waters unusable because smelly, etc. So, but you can't do that. Yes, it's a hefset of all of the water and other things in the water, whatever is there, etc., because of this dead fish. But it's a malach of the rice to take it out. It's killing, considered killing it. You tell them to take it out and put it into some other water body of water, so that you didn't tell them to kill it. You told them to, you're not killing it by taking it out into another thing. Asking a guy to move muksa, the fish is muksa. So you have a situation, you have an aquarium, and there's a fish which is about to die. And a fish dies, many times it affects other fish in the aquarium. So you want to save all your fish in the aquarium. So you can ask the guy to take it out, as long as you tell them to put it into a bucket of water so it shouldn't die immediately. You're asking him to move muksa. Moving muksa to save money, asking God to move muksa for the purpose of a hefset is mutter. Okay.
So when the fish was injured to the point that it was going to die, that's already calling to us neshama.
Right.
Right. But when it's about to die, we're saying it's still chayv until us neshama if you complete it. Why don't we say it's already, good?
Give me which case.
I'm comparing the two cases. In the first case, once it passes a certain threshold where it's not going to recover,
right,
we say, if you take it to that threshold, you've been over until it's neshama.
Right.
In the second case, it seems like it's probably past that threshold. It's about to die, and I'm trying to protect my other fishes. So why don't we say it's It's like it's, you know, Gavra Ketila Kotel and Ketila Kotel.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure of the case. I assume the case was there wasn't at that point. Okay,
but here, just
I just, you know, he just he's
yeah, it feels like you're on the verge of, you know, right. Goyse's fish. And
so it's an interesting question. You know, you're asking a fair question, but we find by Goyse's by a person that, you know, the act of Mekarmis is considered Ritzicha.
Rather than making somebody go say sex, not Ritzicha, by first, I mean, are you saying?
What?
Making somebody a Goyses to the point that he can't recover would be... So the Chiddush over here is this is Groma.
Right, that's the Chiddush.
The Chiddush over here is that this is Batsim, the way you kill fish is by Groma. You don't have to knock them over the head, just take them out of the water. So I didn't do anything, I took it out of the water. The mice of taking out of the water is a mice of Ritzicha. Right?
And therefore, even if he's just the point of
so therefore, I did a Maisa Ritzicha because I took it out of where it's Makam of Chiyus. The Chiddush is the other around. If I take it out with intent to put it back in, I'm not Chayiv. So the Poskim, I'll just give you an interesting question. Poskim grapple with the following question. If I kill somebody with intent of reviving him, am I... So it's a very modern question. When you put a person under in the surgery, you stop his breathing. You killed him. The person who can't breathe is dead. But then you put in a trachea, and then you plan to eventually remove the anesthesia and revive him. But you're killing him, right? Or I'm a parachute instructor for the military. So what I do is I kick the guy out of the plane. I kick him out of the plane. But I have a rip cord in case, you know, he doesn't pull the cord. I can pull the cord for him from the plane. You know, kicking a person out of the plane at 10,000 feet is ritzicha. But I'm planning to revive him by pulling the ripcord, right?
Yeah, that's not quite a stronger case. No.
Right. You know, so that taking it out of the water, the plan to put it back into water, we said that's not called. But if I take it out without no plan to put it back in, so the Chiddush is if it never dies, I'm not chayiv. So that for that you say the point of no return is enough to say that I'm going to be chayiv.
Right.
But it's because it's a Meister Tzicha Betzin.
Right.
Whereas the case where I didn't do anything, it's dying on its own. Mm-hmm. So then it's not dead yet.
And then maybe I can add on another Maaseh HaSeichel.
Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm. So what
so we need to do one more Mishabura. Ramam Chayiv. Afilu Shaloi Litzar, Kol Shei Iskav on the Malacha, Nesir Le Malacha, Nesir Le Gufa, Iskav Alev. So that's really the discussion. How do we pass? Do we pass in Malachas and Shulam Kufas Chayiv or not? We'll have to talk about that more tomorrow. Okay, have a good night.
Thank you.